Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Welcome to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books with Zibby. I'm the host, Zibby Owens. I am an author. My latest is Blank, pub date March 1st, a novel. I'm also a podcaster, obviously, a publisher, a bookstore owner, and so much more. If you love books, you're in the right place. In fact, we call it the Zibbyverse, or really, the LA Times called it the Zibbyverse, and we're going with it. Go to ZibbyOwens.com to learn more and follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens. Lindsay Hameroff is the author of Till There Was You, a novel. Lindsay is a writer, humorist, and former English teacher raised in Baltimore, Maryland, and based in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Her writing has been featured in McSweeney's Internet Tendency, The Belladonna, Weekly Humorist, and other outlets. She also co-edits Frazzled, a parenting humor site. Till There Was You is her first novel. Welcome, Lindsay. Thanks so much for coming on to discuss Till There Was You, a novel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so funny. I have a novel coming out and their chocolate chip pancakes play a big role. So I feel like we should have a pancake, like mashup, meetup, I don't know, something, buffet.
Love that idea. Love that idea. It's just me that. Yeah. Okay.
Tell listeners what your book is about, please.
Great. So it's a romantic comedy. It's about a chef who is like new to culinary school. She's trying to stay focused. She has this big goal, becoming a chef in a Michelin star restaurant. And she doesn't want to get off course, which of course for her means no dating. She's not going to get involved with guys, except one night she's at the bar blowing off steam. She starts chatting to a guy who's sitting there, and he turns out to be the dive bar musician. And they hit it off, and he plays Till There Was You for her because he finds out that she loves show tunes. And then they have like a weekend long fling, and he's like, I'm going to LA to record my demo album. She doesn't think she's going to see him again. And she doesn't. But then like a year later, he becomes a star with this breakout single that's about the blueberry pancakes she made for him the morning after. So everybody's like, wow, this song is so sexy. I wonder what it's about. And she's like, I know what it's about. So she's sort of like trying to move on with her life. You know, she's graduated culinary school. She's working on her job and she's trying to stay focused. And then he shows back up again and is like, I made a mistake, you know, kind of ghosting you. And I want to give this a try. So then they're just both confronting the challenges of having basically like succeeded with each of their individual dreams. And like, if they could be together, you know, while pursuing them.
Awesome. And where did this idea come from?
This idea came from the Harry Styles song, Carolina.
Which was quoted in your, what do you call it? Epigraph or whatever.
Epigraph. Yeah, yeah. I put it in there. I like during the pandemic, I was listening to that song while I was folding laundry. And I was like, I wonder if this is a true story. So I looked it up and it was a true story. Like he really did meet a girl one time and wrote this whole song about her. And I was like, wow, like what an incredible love story. But then like, it never went any further. Like he never saw her again. It just had this hit song. And I was like, what a missed opportunity. Like I'm going to rewrite this story the way that I think it should have happened. And Jake, who is my main character, is not a Harry Styles person. He's like a good old Southern boy. I was also at the same time, I was listening to, I don't know if you remember Chris Allen from American Idol. It's like the only season of American Idol I ever watched.
I watched the one with one of the very first ones, maybe the second season with,
yeah,
I can't remember her name now. This is, well, anyway.
Kelly Clarkson, yeah.
No, not Kelly Clarkson. It was like the season maybe after that. Like she has like brown curly hair. She's kind of taller. Oh my God. I'll think of it. Anyway, keep going.
That's okay. It was like the only season I ever watched. It was like, okay. Alan and Adam Lambert at the end. And he had this song that he performed, Falling Slowly, which was a cover from the Broadway show Once. And I was listening to that as I was listening to Carolina. And then they sort of conflated into this one idea. So he was sort of based on this like good old Southern boy, like, you know, who was playing show tunes, and they sort of just meshed to become that character of Jake.
So I'm guessing, but tell me if I'm wrong, that maybe you have some affinity for musical theater and Broadway.
I do have an affinity for musical. I was actually just in New York this past weekend.
Oh.
And saw two Broadway shows in one day.
What did you see?
I saw Hadestown at the Matinee, and then we saw Merrily We Roll Along at night, which was very cool. I was like, John DeGroff! Ah! So I do have, and I wrote all of the shows that I like. I just wrote them right into the book. You know, I love The Sound of Music and Les Miserables and all those more classic older ones.
You said in the book when you mentioned that you also wanted to have like six siblings after watching, I totally did too. I was like, that would be so fun. Oh my gosh. And we'd all line up with the whistle and it would be perfect.
It would be so great. It's like completely not fitting with my personality, which is like pretty introverted. And I always want to like, well, time for my alone time. But I do sort of want that big family, like in The Sound of Music, because I love that movie.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good. So you have this scene at the bar, which you referenced, and of course she's talking to Jake and she doesn't know it's Jake, and she's saying how much she doesn't like musicians, and of course he's a musician, and you know how he asks her what's on her playlist, and she's like, only Broadway, and he was like, show tunes, oh my gosh. And then he gets up and she's like, how did I not notice the guitar? It must have been sitting there the whole time. Have you had moments like that where after the fact you're just like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that?
I can't think of like a specific moment, but I'm like the queen of putting my foot in my mouth. So like, I can't think of anything specific, but I'm always just saying something that I'm like, ha ha ha. And then like, just look like an absolute jerk afterwards.
I read some of your humor writing, by the way, and I loved your letter to your cleaning lady. I was sort of obsessed. You wrote this whole thing about, it was in November of 2020, and you're like, I'm sorry the apartment's such a mess. My boyfriend broke up with me. And then you go, and like, this whole thing, like, can I be more of a cliche with the Haagen-Dazs and the Chinese takeout? And oh my gosh, you're really funny. You're a very funny writer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I started off writing humor before I even like ventured into the book, so...
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. So where did this whole writing career come from? And is this what you wanted to do? Or do you want to be a chef? Like, where, you know, do you cook also? Tell me about your whole life.
Sure. I mean, I always wanted to be a writer. I think everyone, you know, was always just like, this was my childhood dream. And it was. But I don't know. I couldn't really find the right idea. And I didn't like the idea of just being like, I'm just going to go write a book. I wanted like a steady career. So I ended up becoming an English teacher, as one does. which I like. So we could just spent forever talking about books. And I kept trying to come up with ideas. Nothing ever really stuck. I think I got really stuck in this idea as an English major of like literary fiction. And I was like, it's not really what I write. And I remember being in this, like, I was in like a class in college where we wrote short stories, and I wrote like what I thought, which is pretty much what I write now, like a pop culture celebrity story with like dark humor. And everyone's like, what is this nonsense? Sort of like put me off of it for a little while. And then during the pandemic, when I had all this time, I was on maternity leave. I was teaching, I was on maternity leave. And then the pandemic happened, and then I ended up never going back. But I was reading all of this romance. I had like, couldn't read any more Stephen King. I was like, this is not the time to read The Stand during the pandemic. So I pivoted to romance, and I was reading all this stuff. I was reading the After series by Anna Todd. And I was like, this feels like a parody of Twilight, which feels like a parody of 50 Shades, which feels, it is like the same story. And I thought it, and I ended up writing about it. Like I wrote a parody piece about it, and then I got it published, and I was like, oh, that was fun. And then I got like really into writing humor. So when I did that, I started getting on Twitter, which is when I started connecting with other writers, and, you know, like literary agents started following me. And I was like, maybe this is something I could actually do. You know, maybe I really could write a book. It didn't seem as, you know, impossible as it did, you know, when it was just like a vague idea. Mm-hmm. Like, who do you know who's really a novelist? Like, but it started to feel when I was publishing humor, which I really loved, that it was like a possibility. And so I did a writing workshop with Catapult. It was fun. So it was like a novelist and six of us, and we were working on it. And I worked until there was you. And then it just weirdly worked out. I wrote one book. I signed with an agent. I sold it, like, which I have since learned is like not common.
Yeah. Not usually the case, but
no.
Good for you.
And so I was just like, oh no, is this, I'm just kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time. I'm not a chef. I like to cook. And this is also funny too, because you just like don't know anything when you start writing. I originally imagined Lexi being a teacher, because I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I make her a teacher, everyone's going to think I wrote a book about myself, which is so silly, because that's what people do. So I was like, what else could she be? It's like, you know, she could be a chef. I didn't know anything about it. I interviewed a chef. I read a few books. I never even worked at a restaurant. I just did a lot of research, which I have been told went well. Chefs were like, this is right. And I was like, excellent. I've never, and it was the pandemic, so I couldn't like shadow anybody.
Nice job. I feel like chefs have been getting a bad rap lately, in particular, by, I don't know if it's the, you know, the Bears, that was, you know, all the shows, and I don't know, the exacting nature and how hard it is to succeed under a chef. And I don't know, I watched this silly show called Migration, this movie for kids with my kids.
Oh, I saw like, it. Yeah.
You did? You went. Yeah. We went to a theater that like reclined. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'll just take a nap. And then I was like, I forget that it is so loud in the theater, you know? So, yeah.
Yes.
What do you think? Yeah. Anyway, there was a very mean chef in the thing. So.
Yes.
without even any words, just knives and, you know, puffy chest. And
a humongous budget for a chef to have a private plane that he could chase all the birds around.
Right. What was up with that crazy helicopter? And then it like flew itself. Anyway, oh my gosh. Anyway. So yeah, chefs, bad rap, but great food. So there you go. Are you writing another book?
I am. I'm getting ready to turn in my second book to my editor this week. It's Allie's story. So it's like a companion novel.
Perfect.
Yeah. That one I had to do less research for, because I realized I didn't have to make it so hard on myself. I could write things I knew about. So.
Excellent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
So this is great. So are you still an English teacher or did you quit to write full time?
I never went back. So I went back after the pandemic. My son during the pandemic was diagnosed with autism and he needed a lot of therapy. And it was all home therapy that I really needed to be at home with him for.
Yep.
And so now he's in full time school, but now I'm writing. So I just started doing that full time.
How old is he now?
Five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So you have all the skills.
It's
everything.
All an unexpected journey that sort of led me to where I'd always sort of wanted to be. But I don't know if I would have done it had I not had this pandemic and his diagnosis. And I think I probably would have just stayed teaching and stayed comfortable. I know lots of people are teachers and they write. Just never was something that I was able to do.
Yeah. You know, different times of life too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And what are you reading these days?
Right now I'm reading A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. And I am it is so good. It is so good. I keep going back to reread parts because it's just like even on a line level, it's just so beautiful. And then it just got approved for a few NetGalley things. So I'm excited about that. I have Happy Medium coming down the line, Jessica Joyce's new book, The X-Files. So I keep trying to squeeze in thrillers, but I like to mix it up sometimes.
All of a sudden, I keep having all these thriller ideas. And I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even know. How would I even start to write a thriller?
I have a thriller idea. And I'm like, I don't know if this is something I'm capable of doing.
Right. That's how I feel.
But it percolates all day long.
I'm like, should I give it to someone? Should I give it to someone else to do?
Do I want to give it away? You know? Right, yeah. And then I'm also I also just envision people being no, that wasn't good.
Yeah, or it's been done before 100 times, but since I don't read that many thrillers, I don't know. But
The naivete only gets you so far. I was like, what if I wrote a book about a celebrity and a normie? I bet that's never been done. and I think that it's really kind of my thought process. But I think that's what's going to happen with the thriller. I'm like, what if it was about housewives? No one's ever written that.
Did you read romantic comedy?
Yeah. I mean, you have to an SNL. Romantic comedy.
Exactly. Very fun.
Yes.
There's also when moms get involved with boy bands, did you read?
I read The Idea of You. Yes. When it came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
it was before I really was a Harry Styles fan. I got into Harry Styles from the After series because I kept being let me visualize Harry Styles. And so I kept pulling him up on my Kindle until eventually I just was ready to, get married. I do the idea of the mom with the younger.
Yeah, kind of fun.
Yeah.
I was actually on a plane once with Harry Styles and I didn't even know who he was. It was a long time ago. I know. Yeah.
I would lead with that anytime I met somebody.
I feel like I'm more in the camp of your character here, who's not up on all the things.
Me neither. That's where I've come up with it too. Whenever people are naming music, I'm like, I know this.
Yeah.
I turn around, listen to the Les Miserables soundtrack. I'm not with it.
I definitely know who he is now, but back then it was, well, my husband did know. So he was pointing and I was what?
Yeah. I was teaching middle school at the height of the One Direction era. So I knew who they were. Mm-hmm. We had a poster in the hallway that said with like a One Direction poster, and we used to tell the kids like line up facing One Direction, like I like knew who he was, but I was not really like into that music.
So what is the secret to good pancakes?
Well, for the blueberry pancakes, I think you have to have the lemon juice. I think that's the secret. I actually like that is a true part of the story. I actually did, when I did not know how to cook at all, I did find this blueberry pancake recipe in a People magazine. And it was like the first recipe I ever mastered. And I did not go on to culinary school, but I have seen a lot of blueberry pancake recipes and I've never really seen a lemon juice one. I do think that helps.
Excellent. I tend to add vanilla.
I've never added vanilla. That sounds good.
Yeah. So I stole it from my husband, so I can't really claim it, but
yeah. You have to get the right size blueberries too. Cause if they're too big, it like rises too much. You can't really get that right consistency.
Yeah. The other day I was like, I'm basically just making you guys cookies on a pan. Right? I mean, I'm basically making you a chocolate chip cookie for breakfast on a pan.
Yeah.
I think it's a pan, you know, but anyway,
I know.
Didn't stop me.
I like them. They're not my favorite breakfast food. Like I'll eat them if they're there. And I do make them a lot because my husband and my children love them.
What's your favorite breakfast food?
Like a savory breakfast person. Like I'd rather have like, you know, like eggs with salsa.
Ah, okay.
Something for like that realm.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Amazing. Okay. What advice do you have for aspiring authors? I mean, I could talk about food with you forever.
I could as well. I think the best advice I got, and I got this when I was taking, I took a few humor writing classes like with the Second City, they were great. And I think the best advice I got from there that I have, you know, moved on with is like, you should write to entertain yourself. You know, I think it's very easy to sort of like chase what's trending in the market, you know, or, you know, to write what you think people want to read. And I think when you write, when you're your own fan and you're writing what you want to read, like you will find your readers. You know, and that was sort of what I did with humor. Like you don't want to write humor where like, you don't really feel like this is funny, but you know, like you feel like that's a trending topic. Like I used to occasionally try to write political stuff and I was like, okay, but it wasn't really like my, you know, niche sort of interest. And I think that's true. You know, I write, especially the first one and the second book, like I just wrote what I like, you know. And I think that when you do that, you're going to have fun writing it and you're going to have fun reading it and it's going to come through, I think is the most important thing. I remember like trying to come up with book ideas and it just wasn't what I would necessarily want to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had this writing coach session once and they were like, okay, write the jacket flap copy. And I wrote it and I was like, well, I wouldn't want to read this book.
Exactly. Like if you're not going to want to pick it up, it's going to be hard to put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah. 100%. That's a good tip. All right. Well, congratulations, Lindsay. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.